You know, I guessed that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, 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 the Get Your Podcast crew is in the building. That's right, you got your homie Just. And of course, I didn't come alone. I had to bring one of my old school homies, one of my day one homies, straight from the Hip Hop Chair Shots podcast. Vic the Villain's in the building.
Yeah, what's good, what's good? We out here. Yo, Get Your, appreciate you for having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, man. Come on now. We had to do this. This is a long time coming.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? For those that don't know, these guys, we've been interacting with each other on Twitter for a long, long, long time. You know what I'm saying? For those who don't know, we've been homies since, what, four years now.
Yeah, from day one homies, man. I appreciate all the love that's always been given, reciprocated here. And it's all mutual, baby. We all having fun here, and you know how it is, man. We love the wrestling, baby.
Come on. Whatever you want, I'll bring to the carne asada. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it don't matter. You know? Ya tu sabes, manito. You already know. You get the sazón going.
Hey, the sazón, whatever.
Ya tu sabes.
I got you. But listen, I know you had a busy 2 weeks with everything that you got doing, right? And I'm trying to catch up with all this other wrestling stuff. But, homie, what type of wrestling fan you been this week?
Yo, listen, man. It to some, it's been very, like you said, very busy. We've been out here doing work and all that, but not for nothing. This specific week, I'm an emotional wreck for one, but grateful. And very grateful. I can definitely get more into it when we get into Dynasty. Because that'll clarify more, but it was definitely more of an emotional and grateful feeling for me as a wrestling fan this specific week.
I got you. It's like kind of an emotional roller coaster, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Especially when, you know, WrestleMania, they just crowned the first Puerto Rican Boricua champion, you know what I'm saying? For a lot of people, that's a huge emotional thing, you know what I'm saying? Because they've been so many throughout the years. You know what I'm saying? Right. But never made it to that point. Big deal.
Nothing too. So outspoken about it too, because never has there been a champion to represent Hispanics outside of Rey Mysterio, of course. And maybe Alberto Del Rio, I guess, too. But it's only, you can count on your hands how many there have been that I'm Latino and I speak the language too, and I represent for both sides. And then great for Damian Priest. I know for a fact he having a blast out there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that he was basically crowned after the whole thing that he did in Backlash last year.
Yes.
You know, yeah, Bad Bunny for sure, right? But he couldn't do it without Damian Priest helping him. Yes. Right.
He brought it.
He showed that he's an in-ring general. You know, so I like everything that they represent. I need him to hold the title for at least a while. I don't want him to. I don't want him to give it to Jay.
Jay.
chill.
Yeah. Jay's gonna have to take a backseat, but he's making it entertaining at least from what I saw on Raw already tonight. But I can't wait for that, man. That they both came up at the same time, and it's like. Damian Priest has been waiting for this, and I think he's going to show out, man. He said, he got a lot of responsibility. Seth made it a title, and now he got to keep it that way. Let's see. Show up and show out.
I think he's ready. I think he's ready for sure.
Oh, for sure.
The type of wrestling fan I've been is kind of like, you know what I'm saying, catching up, like I was saying earlier, right? Okay. Like just trying to see what everything's going on. I mean, this past weekend was pretty wild. We had TNA, right? Then we had AEW Dynasty and everything that's going on with them. We're trying to catch up with all the dark sides. I don't know how many people still watch the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes.
So those, I have it on DVR. Bro. Yeah. Like, When you think about it, there was a time where there was not this much wrestling going on, and trying to keep up with it is kind of a next level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's the type of wrestling fan that we've been. But let's get into it, right? There's a few news and rumors, things I want to get out there. I mean, this most recent TNA pay-per-view, they just had Matt Hardy come out. Right, delete. Right, Brother Nero. They had him come out, and I guess his whole thing with AEW is done. So that leaves Jeff Hardy right on the side. Now, does he follow his brother to TNA, or does he kind of like just venture off and just stick to what he's doing?
To be honest, I don't think he stays alone at all. I think one of the reasons he left WWE was to be with his brother and. I mean, outside looking in, right? I can't speak to Jeff Hardy, but from what it looks like, I think he's better off in with his brother and around his brother's company, and around him as well. Don't be in a promotion on your own, because we all seen where that's gotten you. And it's not fun. It doesn't feel fun for outside looking in. Doesn't seem like it's fun for him.
Nah, so. You're right. Because I mean, you've seen the times where he wasn't with his brother,
right?
You know what I'm saying? He's kind of like relapsed a little bit.
Yeah,
right. He's kind of gotten into like a few, you know, police, you know, altercations and stuff like that. Things happened to him. So yeah, bringing around his brother might be the best thing. Now, my question is, I don't think Matt Hardy is really signed to TNA, but I know he just made an appearance there. Do you think they go back to WWE?
You never say never, right? But again, when you say just go back to WWE like that and stuff, immediately people are thinking of matches. Let's see another ladder. Let's see another this. If they do go to the E, I think they're going to get a check. Are they in the Hall of Fame yet? They are Hall of Famers, right?
No, I don't think so.
Not Hall of Fame.
No, they're all right, Hall of Fame yet.
They'll go back, come back home, get that Hall of Fame, maybe do a match or two. If that, I don't even think it's necessary. Just come back for the Hall of Fame next year at Mania and call it, that's it, end it over there. Because, I mean, get the royalty checks, get the legendary Hall of Fame.
Yeah, get the what's check, that, legend contract?
Legend contract, get that in there, feed your families and yo, call it a career, man. You guys deserve it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with that rivalries thing that that aired a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, man, if these dudes don't come back to WWE, I mean, it's be kind of like not a sour storyline, but it's like it would be fitting if they came back to the place that made them, right?
Right. And especially and like you said, like he's going.
Yeah, Legends contract.
Yeah, yeah, get the Legends contract. Yeah. And in a different home without Vince, you don't know what that's like. Maybe it might
It
might look a little different. You might want to see what that's like. So
They never known a home without Vince.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just how like Usher never know a home without Diddy. What? Who said that?
That part. Diddy damn.
Yo.
No Diddy.
Yo. No Diddy. Right. No, but okay. So like the other thing too is that okay. So we're gonna speak on AEW Dynasty soon. But so in the match, Ospreay and Brian, they had that match, right? And in that match, he does, what's it called? The Storm Driver 93? Yes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He did that. And that's when, you know, Daniel Bryan started doing the PTWWESD spasms.
Is that what you called them? Yeah.
That's what I call it. But he starts doing the spasms. So he decides in the little like press conference that he's going to retire that right move.
Right. So it's gone
to me. To me, like, I think Daniel Bryan was the only person to have that situation happen after the whole moveset. For me, though, like, why is it called? I don't know if you've seen this lately, but, like, I know we're from a certain era where a pile driver or a DDT or a brain buster was just that. But now they put years on them.
So, yeah, I was thinking of that, too. And I actually read something where it's not even that. A Japanese wrestler called it a 91 or a 92.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yes.
I forgot the name of it, too. He has a different name for it. It's a 91. It's an earlier year. And it's like, okay, maybe because in Japan, they wanted to do that for some reason, too. I don't know. But and they're just copying. But I don't see what the purpose is. I mean, again,
yeah,
was there a staple or a stamp attached to that move from that year that I don't know about?
It just looks like a regular, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing different compared to, like, what's that one that Finn Balor used? Like, Brain Buster or something like that, 1971 or something.
Like 1968
or something. Yeah. It's the Declaration of Independence.
It's the same year as that White Castle burger, too, that came out that they named it. Or the years are similar. I don't know. My son loves it all the time. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, shout out White Castle. No, but it's
old
school.
Old school corrects me all this shit. Old school, my guy. He'll be like, listen, it's 16. This, I mean, whatever the fuck, and you're wrong. And I'm like, yeah, my bad.
Shout out old school. Oh, no, but yeah, I never understood the years. You know what I'm saying? Like, is like a Sweet Chip Music? Like, are they calling that? Would that be like Super Kick 95? Yeah,
that's got to be a 95, 96. I don't know. Let's ask Marty Jannetty.
Like a leg. If somebody does a leg drop, like Hogan's leg drop, like leg drop 84.
84, my God. Right. What about the modern ones? Like a 2000 or something. A Jericho.
Right.
Jesus.
No, but I just thought that was crazy. I mean, like, I just never understood the names and stuff like that. Okay, so there's the last thing I want to address too. Big rumor, right? I guess Undertaker on the 6 Feet Under podcast, he came out and said that WrestleMania is in Las Vegas. There's no real word that it's there,
right?
But for me personally, I would like that.
Then so hey, listen, where did he say this?
I think his 6 Feet Under podcast or in an interview.
That was Mania weekend, right? I'm assuming.
I think it was I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was across from the Dave and Buster's where the Major Pod was recording. Okay. Yeah, if he said that, I still think they're up in the air about it, either Vegas or Minnesota, and I'm still upset as well that they didn't announce it. That day, that one of the two nights of Mania, which they normally do.
Yeah, they normally do that, right?
39 years.
Yeah, you're right. They
let's start 40 to like not announce it. Okay. It has to be that the bidding is not over or they're just having trouble deciding for some reason. It has to be something like, because both bids are locked in, I guess, from what I've heard too. And, you know, my people talk and, you know, our people talk to their people and, you know, our clients do all this research, people. So get on board and come on, catch up here. Listen.
To me, what would you want? Because I know Minnesota has a roof.
Vegas. It's hand down Vegas. I cannot listen. We are a wrestling family over here in the Villain House, and I am already getting the warning signals to get the couch ready if we have to go to Minnesota, because we're not liking Minnesota over Vegas. I've been strictly told. And listen, and on top of that, we got a little one, so I gotta make sure we bring the babysitting.
Yeah,
as well, we gotta bring the babysitters with us. So Vegas is already planned out. We cannot not Vegas cannot not happen, Vince. I mean Hunter. We cannot not have Vegas. So come on,
Nick Khan. Come on, Nick Khan.
Let's get this going.
Plus, to me, okay, nothing against Minnesota, kind of, but like, there's nothing to do.
It's already cold as fuck out here in Jersey. It's already snowy. Well, it's not that snowy, but it's cold. Like it's snowy.
It's moving towards it. You guys are like us. Like it's moving towards the point where it's still cold, but it's trying to transition into being summer, right?
Yeah.
So you in that 50, 60 range.
Yeah, we still got the hoodies popping right now.
Hey, right. You see us. Las Vegas in May is still not that hot.
It's not.
It's decent.
But the gambling and all the activities out there will make you forget about all that. Let me tell you.
I'm telling you, like all the different concerts that you can go to, all the amenities, and there's even stuff to do outside the strip. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I love that you went there. Yes. Outside of the strip.
But too, like they have the most capabilities too in terms of space.
Do they? Okay. I don't want to know what you mean, like arena wise and stuff like that.
Yeah. So like I know that the arena that they have it at, I think where the Raiders play, is huge. Is huge. Okay. And then I think they have a spot that's like connected to it for the convention center. So it's like you know how in Philly like you had to go to like two different spots kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So but it wasn't too far, but it was like it was kind of like separated. Yeah.
Right, so like I think in Las Vegas they're kind of like on the same campus if they do the WWE World, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Yeah, that's not gonna happen no more.
If they
they got too much of my money this year to not do that again next year. So yeah, I'm telling you, man.
And they have a lot of venues, so like Wale Mania will be popping off, you know, in Las
Vegas. Dope. I gotta hit Wale Mania. I shout outs to GoPro Productions. I work with them personally, and we do promotional work for GCW as well as MLW and stuff like that. So they usually have me out there working GCW on WrestleMania week. So we're gonna be out by this year. We were out by the old DCW arena.
Yes, yes.
We were on there, and then we were back and forth to the I forget the name of it. Something catering center.
Okay.
But I forget the name. But it was back and forth between those venues. If it's like you say, it's going to be so convenient, then having everything in the same area is clutch.
Yeah.
I can't see why they wouldn't do that, because they'll have everybody putting on shows in the area on top of that. Plus, you're going to have the World. Yeah, that makes the most sense right there.
Yep. I wish there would be some match in the Spear. You know what I'm saying? Like,
everybody's saying you're gonna see Raw and SmackDown on the Spear.
What if they have like some Uncle Hottie shit in the Spear? You know what I'm saying? Like, that might be crazy. That might be crazy.
I'm here for all of that. Let's get it done.
Yeah. Well, that's news and rumors. But going on to AEW Dynasty. So like basically we're just gonna be kind of like reactionary to this whole thing, right? So like winners and losers from this thing. I'm gonna start, right? So So a winner for me, right, is the Okada Pac match.
Okay.
Like I thought that was good. I mean, it's like one of those things that you thought you'd never see too, because you know Okada and Pac.
Yeah.
My thing though is the Pac getting the L, right? That's a loser for me, because it's like ever since he's been part of AEW, he's kind of had a stop and go phase in his career. Like a lot of people were like, "Oh man, this guy could be champion over there," but he like, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know?
Yeah.
And he's kind of a loser in that sense.
Oh, yeah. Like he lost I feel what you're saying. I feel like he was also trying to like, I don't know. I'm not saying like he's trying to, but it looks like he's just trying to lose every time, every chance he gets. Like he'd rather put the person over again or have a match.
Oh, you know what? I see what you're saying. Yeah,
like have that the new person shine over him, and then he does get his standing ovation. Maybe that's what it does for him too. Maybe the standing ovation at the end does it for him.
He's good where he's at. He's good where he's at.
And also the booking, the legendary booking that is AEW as well. You know, you gotta credit them for that too. But Okada looked great, phenomenal. So they have it. It's called the Continental Championship, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you invest yourself from what you know with WWE. You take it. This is going to be one of their mid-card, if not their mid-card workhorse championships, that leads you to the AEW championship, because they literally called it Continental Championship. So I invested myself in it being such an important match, and it was that and more because of that. I agree that Okada definitely was a winner in more ways than one here. Yeah, because now he got the American crowd to kind of peep a little bit more about what he's doing and what his move sets are. And not that they don't know him already, but like getting him to see on American soil now is just that much greater, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I feel you. And you bring up a good point, because I didn't think about it like that either. I was like, you know what? You're right. Pac is probably just fine where he's at, just, you know, getting talent over, see if they're ready to go to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. And Okada, if anything, Okada definitely needs that right now more than anything. Not that talent based, but just, you know, feeling things out, getting your feet wet. Now, this is your first run, so let's give you good. Let's give you guys that are gonna take care of you, and you know, lead you to the right path, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and at the same time, dude, they're putting a little bit of, you know, sauce on this continental title. You know what I'm saying? A little bit, you know.
Sazón.
A little sazón.
Ole sazón.
But, you know, okay, how do you feel about the tag team titles, man? The Bang Bang Bros and Acclaim.
Oh, the six-man? Oh, I love...
The six-man, yeah, yeah.
I love that they finally unified it.
Yeah.
I think everything, there's a reason for everything, and there's a reason why those ROH titles are silver and not platinum, and mentioned as silver. And when they look next to the AEW ones, you notice that the AEW ones are gold. Finally, we're gonna get the gold ones on the Bang Bang Gang, and Acclaim, they'll need them. I feel like the whole purpose of putting it on them was to kind of get Bang Bang over. It didn't work how they wanted.
Yeah,
but they still got it over. They still got Bang Bang over, and now you can take Acclaim and put them back in the tag team division and have them run around doing the tag team shit because they need it now that the Bucks are champions again and shit like that. So I feel the triple tag team had them a little too busy, and it hurt the tag division a little bit.
No, it did.
Yeah,
and plus, like, Acclaim to me always seemed like the better team to chase the title than to hold it too.
Yeah, you know,
though they're kind of like heels in a way, but they kind of get that popular spot like a face.
Yeah, no, for sure. Their promos are heel as fuck.
exactly. So, like, to me, like, yeah, I'm okay with them. I mean, they're still over with the crowd. They're probably the most over team over that role, without having a title, you know?
Yeah, they don't need it. They don't need titles.
No, they don't need it at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one match I wanted to ask you, right, is the Bobby Roode Kyle O'Reilly match.
Oh,
right,
man.
To me, I felt that this match was kind of misplaced in a way, right?
Okay.
Because you had all this stuff going on, and then it was kind of like smack dab in the middle, and it was a very, like, how do I say, like, wrestling technical type match, right? There wasn't too much high spots. It was just, it was basically an ROH match, basically.
Yeah, filler. I felt filler.
You felt filler. Okay, so would you say, like, this is kind of like a, I don't know, like, would you say this is like a loser spot for you? Or would you say, like, this could have been on Dynamite?
It could have been on Dynamite, and not because of the match itself. I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot here by having this match, having this international title now. So, like I told you, I invested in the first match, right, with the Continental. So I kind of put my head that Okada's their intercontinental mid-card workhorse champion, right, in WWE terms, right? Because WWE is what I know, and that's how I
base it too.
Right. Yep. So now you're gonna give me this international championship that looks, smells, and feels like another mid-card workhorse championship. And now it's kind of like, all right, maybe I could have had this Dynamite or something and build
maybe Zero Hour. Yeah.
But, I mean, they did it on the Dynasty. And the win here out of anything was Adam Cole walking again. The miracle, baby!
Bro, this man did a Charles Xavier on us. He did a Professor Xavier on us. All of a sudden, he can walk. Shout out X-Men 97.
He saved this matchup, and definitely the look he gave a certain somebody, if you certain caught it. If you know, you know.
Yes.
His eyeballs moving, but I feel Adam Cole needed to do all that, because not for nothing, it's getting off to a rough start. Adam Cole always takes my money, and all his factions work with me. He can't do no harm, but I'm telling you, it got off to a little rocky start with him not being there and being hurt right off the bat. I think that hurt the faction a bit, and I think now that he's back, maybe we get a little bit more story, maybe more
Story time. Yup. Yep.
Story time with Adam Cole, baby.
No, I mean, because like, he is the reason why people want to see that whole faction too, is because of him.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it sucks for him because he had the injury when he was at his high point with MJF, right?
Oh, worst time
with that run.
Yeah.
And so that definitely pushed him back to the line. So now that he's okay now, now he can walk again. Hopefully, maybe he kind of like, you know, screws one of his friends and gets his opportunity, you know?
Yep. And I know just the one. just the friend he may want to.
which is like Adam Cole's MO, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, to betray his friend. People talk about Seth Rollins betraying people. Dude, Adam Cole has betrayed all of his friends, you know?
Oh my god, yes. Terribly.
He'd be that bastard, man. He'd be like, damn, this dude, man. He can't trust this
boy. And they still get mad at him every time he does it.
And you still let him in the circle? Come on. You still let him to the barbecue? Come on, man.
Oh, no.
No, okay. So Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe versus House of Black, right? To me, I thought this was a pretty decent match. You know, it's a winner for me because I like House of Black. But as far as Adam Copeland and Eddie Kingston and this whole team goes, I don't know. I don't want to put them in losers. I can't feel like you could put them in winners in a loser category, but it's kind of stale.
It feels too last minute and too here. Y'all three, go ahead, go
right,
get out there,
right.
Let's rock. And that's how it feels. Maybe give them some more. See, this is a team that could use the titles to get over on being an actual team and being considered. Or taken seriously here. If you put the titles on these three, it'll help you see them more as a team.
Like a unit.
Yeah. But maybe this was a one-off. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, because these are such the is just a weird group. You know, you got, I don't care. He's Edge to me, so I'm going to say Edge.
Yeah, he's Edge. He's
Edge, bro. I heard y'all say it, too. So, like, yeah, Edge. Eddie and Mark, it's just a weird dynamic.
Yeah, you know, nah, it just doesn't. I don't. It's not what I would have thought of for Edge right away after finishing.
After he did with Christian. No,
yeah.
I thought for sure he would be in the title hunt. You know, saying after all that,
right? Or at least like, well, I can see the those open challenges got stale quick too.
I mean the most recent one with Penta was pretty good though.
Mat match was amazing. Yes,
that was a great one.
Matt Cardona was fire. Mm-hmm. But like I think just the fact of it being an open challenge is too WWE. I don't think with they can do it too much.
It's a callback to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
I feel you. So yeah, unfortunately, Edge and his friends have to be a loser on that one. Shout out to Patrick Black.
Loser.
I will tell you a huge winner though, right? Willow Nightingale.
This match was
definitely a banger right here. It was definitely one of the matches of the night. Shout out to Willow too, right? Putting all the moves and the strength, bro.
Yo, she got it. She got the whole thing, whole package, man. And now she's finally got some hardware. To validate it, and she's gonna sell some tickets with Monet. It's gonna be great. And it's funny because I always thought Willow was gonna turn. As I watched Chad Gable's on the screen here cutting a heel promo, and I'm thinking Willow would be so great cutting a heel promo because I thought she would just the whole time they were marinating her. And her faction with Statlander, and friends, it felt like one of them were gonna turn, or he was looking that way. But then, now that she's with Monet, I don't think she needs. I think she got the strap that Monet needs and Monet wants. And now you got some money here. You got some story. You could do a pay per view here. Maybe some.
No, I feel you. But you know that segment that Mercedes had, right, where she was in the in the office or whatever talking to Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, the lights
went out and then she was clocked or whatever.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that that is Willow that did
that. Yeah. So that's another thing, that one little cherry on top that made me think that way too with that. And then she quickly, Monet quickly went after Julia for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then got her revenge with Julia, but she hasn't. I think she still suspects Julia. She has no idea or no feeling that it could still be Willow. So maybe that could be a
Right. That's the play, I think. The other thing too. Okay. So both those women, Julia and Willow, is definitely a winner in this match for sure, because it's been a while since there's been a really good TBS title match. You know what I'm saying? It's mostly been the TNT that's really been the best one.
Yep.
So shout out to those two. But a loser for me until she wrestles, Mercedes, unfortunately, man. Like,
yo, I'm not mad at you. It's a big L, to be honest, if you ask me. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like her vignettes and her promo skills, like the way that she's being portrayed like in AEW, is just not like making me feel like it was an impact, not like how it was for Big Business, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like everything that she's doing is, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like she's kind of doing copy and paste Charlotte Flair.
And so I feel like, yeah, that. Exactly that. she's copying, pasting. But right. I don't know about Charlotte Flair may, do you recall like specific promos or something that she said?
No, stuff, it's just like her presentation, right? You know how like when Charlotte Flair comes out, like they always do the big song. She takes her time going to the song just to like cut some like mid promo.
She's toning, you know, at the top of the stage. So she's playing WWE in AEW. The problem is you're in AEW. You're not in WWE. Nobody else is playing WWE. Because they don't know how to play WWE over there, and they don't want to play WWE over there. It's not gonna work. Or if it's not gonna work, it's gonna stand out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So make it work, or it's not gonna work. Like,
no, I feel you, because like, gee, it's like, why are you taking like 2 minutes to get to the ring and like do your whole thing just to talk? Yeah. And then when you talk, like, it's not you know, anything. Like, it's just like me and you, Willow, are for the next match at Double or Nothing. It's like, we know that.
Tell me something you don't know and faster.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me something we don't already. We know that. Like, why are we wasting like 10 minutes here?
Do
you know?
Do not make her do any promos. She is not to do no promos with Eddie Kingston.
Oh, swear to God,
Kingston will expose of her immediately. Honestly,
I'm waiting for that Brit. I'm waiting for that Brit promo. Remember how she exposed Ruby and everybody like that?
Oh,
I'm waiting for her to go off.
Let's see that. Oh my God.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for that.
Yes.
Because I don't think she can do it at that level. You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna be a transition for her. Let's see what she does. But so far, let's get her in the ring. That's where it's. We'll forget it. We'll at least try to forget it.
And that's what she's really good at, in the ring. You know, but you can't be doing all this outside stuff and just make us be like cringe.
Until,
you know,
that's what she's good at in the ring. Until she botches some stupid shit, and then the internet's gonna fucking eat her alive.
Listen, my eyes aren't mad. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But I'm just Camera being critical. I'm just being critical.
Yeah.
No, but okay, so the next match, right? The next match we got here. Okay, we talked about the Kyle O'Reilly match. So we said that. Okay. I don't know how everyone feels, right? Chris Jericho. This is the FTW title match, right?
With Hulk and Jericho.
Which it was actually better than I thought it was.
Okay.
Right? I was like, you know, at first I was like, you know, Hook, blah, blah, blah. And then this past, like, couple months, I'm like, you know what? Hook has really improved. You know what I'm saying? He's really improved. Do I think that he's, like, some 6-star New Japan rating, whatever. No. But, like, he's pretty decent for what he's got going on. But, like, this match, personally, I thought it was okay.
What do you like? Okay. What do you like from Hook that he's improved on?
I think, remember when he first started, like, he would just kind of wait for his partner to tell him everything.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like he's more comfortable into, like, going through the match. Like, you don't see him counting the steps.
Okay.
Like, you don't see him trying to remember, okay, I got to do this clothesline. I got to hit this, the ropes. Like, you don't see that with him.
It's coming more natural to him now.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. He's not thinking in the ring, okay. Right? If I have to say who's better, obviously I'm going to say Dominic is better.
Dom, baby! Yeah,
That's my man. Yo, you know what I'm saying?
Dom is good.
Dominic is good.
You have on you, and also, B, you're Ray's son. Like, you're Ray's son. You got the meat, man. Like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. He's been trained by a bunch of legends, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's definitely been taken care of, sure.
Yes, for sure. But like Hook, I see he's doing okay. He's doing okay.
Yeah, no, what about you? I like where Hook is headed. I felt like when the report came out earlier last week, I think we did it, that Hook is leaving and he might be a free agent soon or whatever. Like,
Yep.
I thought to myself, I'm like, does he want to like do that now? Maybe, maybe sit and marinate in AEW, grow that stock a little more, and then do that. Cause I know you already want to go to WWE.
Yeah.
And I don't think the crowd there would resonate with a Hook. Because right now his only selling point is what? He's a Goldberg-esque wrestler. He's gonna get there. He doesn't look like no Goldberg. Yeah. And WWE don't like no Goldberg anyway. So what the fuck?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know if that would be a good look. Maybe some MLW, something else. Okay. But even that, if you're gonna leave AEW to go somewhere beneath them, I don't know if that's a good idea for you right off the bat. But where he's headed is fine. I think he's great. The match was dope. The way they finished was great too. I loved I finally loved Jericho's promo last week where he shoved Taz. It finally got me into the match because I wasn't about it. I wasn't for it at all. It had nothing. It was sold me nothing. But until that shot, I was like, okay, now I'm invested. Let's have the match. The match was great. Jericho did his thing, and but now what? Now what's next? I think they're gonna have to keep it going for a little bit still, right? Because he hit him the bat and all that shit. So
the spot that was crazy is when Hook had that belly to back suplex to the table.
Oh wow, yeah,
where he almost fucked up Jericho's neck, like or they almost fucked up his head or whatever. That was a pretty wild spot.
Oof,
but Jericho, right? Going to talk about Jericho, like. Yeah, he's whatever, but you got to give him some credit for reinventing himself every now and then, right?
Like, yeah, no, and it's literally what the business is about. Anybody will tell you if you can reinvent yourself as many times as Jericho has, you can work anywhere. Think about works and jobs today. People get fired, get laid off. That's it for them, some of them like they got nothing else. They can't do anything else from there. It's something else you gotta look for. New career, new this, new that, new hustle. You reinvented yourself. You can work anywhere you want. You can go to any company and they're gonna love you there and you're gonna make money.
Yeah, I mean, think about like when he came in, La Champion, right?
La Champion.
Then he did his thing with like MGF. He had that thing, right? He had that thing, and then he had that thing with Sammy.
Everybody he's touched so far has gone or rocked the strap on their back.
Right, Right. Now he's what, the learning tree now? Is that what he is?
The wizard, the learning tree.
The wizard. The ultra, yo, there you go. The wizard. I couldn't think of what else? The wizard. What else? The pain maker. What is it? Pain the pain maker. Maker he had. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I mean, you got to give him a shot as much as, like, yeah, you know, yeah, whatever now. But, like, in yeah, terms of, like, his career, yeah, you got to give him a little bit of props, right?
Yeah, yeah. Fuck his donations and shit. But, like, yeah, nah, he's cool. He's cool. Go ahead.
Hell no. No, but, okay, so, like, all right. So, this is the match. This is one of my favorite. This is one of the top matches for me, right? The Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm match. Ooh, right? Yes. I wanted Thunder Rosa to win this title. Because everything that she was going through with AEW, you know what I'm saying? They like didn't sign her back or she left or whatever. And she was kind of the still title holder for a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of got a little weird.
Yeah.
After that run and stuff. So it's good to see her back.
Yeah, it's good to see her back. And dude, Timeless Toni Storm, what can you say?
Cameron, man, listen, Toni Storm did her thing. I love when she can get in the like the whole graphic on the screen when mm-hmm. she's on TV. It turns black and white. Like such a great Timeless is such a great gimmick for her, and it's worked out so well. Like she's another one that after this run, she's not gonna need a title. She's gonna run off and she can sell tickets by herself.
She's probably one of the few, like I guess you could say, like. She's one of the few women that, because she had a WWE run, but she wasn't like made in the WWE, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see one of the few in AEW that after this, she doesn't need a title. She's like a made she's a made wrestler
yeah,
already.
Yeah, this is it.
Right? Which is kind of hard to find in the women's division.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a lot of those.
Nah, and you can tell like this is something that she found and... Yeah, she doesn't have to do anything else differently for a while. Like mm-hmm. this can stick for a little bit. And yeah, you're right. Like it, you don't see much of that in the women's division. Now that I think about it,
right.
I mean, baby,
because usually you need a title to help get them over. But Toni Storm, the character alone, the name alone is bankable.
Yeah, no, bankable's right.
Right.
Yes.
Especially everything with that champagne and everything like that. I bet you she's gonna have her own, just like you know.
Jericho had
the bubbly. You know,
that's another thing. Yeah, and great if she does ever do that, because that's money right there. That's
right. Maybe they'll call it Timeless Wine. I don't know. I'm just thinking of names.
Timeless Chardonnay.
it'll come in two versions, the black and the white.
You gotta get the rosé in there too.
Yeah,
you gotta get the rosé too. Timeless.
See, dude, they're gonna tap in. They're gonna hear that we came up with this idea.
Yeah, royalties, baby. Send them here.
Royalties,
first.
Come on, man. Come on. So this is probably the match of the night. Everyone says, right? Will Ospreay versus Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, match of the night. I think maybe it's
match of the year candidate.
I was thinking last night, and I literally as it was finishing too, I'm thinking, yo, this is match of the year. This is match of the year, but I'm like, yo, bro, I just came from WrestleMania.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
We just had Cody just finish his story. I cannot disrespect Cody yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe let it marinate a little. We'll see how the year plays out. Mm-hmm. But I gotta watch it a few more times. But this is the first one. That you can right away. Those are the first two right there.
Okay.
For the year, that's the fight. That's the argument. Is it better than Cody's story? And you gotta forget. You gotta remember, Taker came out of nowhere here. That you were expecting Austin, but you got Taker.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, you also got Cena. You also got The Rock. You also got Cody. There's a lot in this one match. So.
And also too, like just still speaking on that WrestleMania 2 match, it was an overbooked match, but it made sense.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Sometimes you do these overbooked. You know, we come from the generation of overbooked.
There was people that mania saying, right? "Yo, I want to see the most overbooked shit." Ever. Right.
But like some of those just didn't make sense, you know. Sometimes, but this one, like everybody involved, there was a reason why they were there. You know,
yeah, it was perfect. It worked out.
Okay, so here's a side note. So if you had to choose, like, let's say five or three of Match of the Year candidates, what would they be?
for this year alone. Those two, man,
because we've had a lot of great ones already, and it's only, you know, it's only April.
It is only April. There was one I forgot already who the participants were though. Shit, I was just telling somebody in the show, matchy, they were like, "Nah, it's too early." Damn, what the hell was it?
Well, there was Brian and Okada at Wrestle Kingdom.
It was that one. That's
right up here. That's right up there with this one, right?
Yeah, because it was Mischief, and he was literally telling me, "Yo, you gotta let that one sit a minute." I'm like, "Okay, let's see." But yeah, no, that's gotta be a third for me for sure. That's
definitely a third. And then obviously the main event, you're right, night two, the main event.
Yeah. Well, that's my second.
That's your second, okay.
That one and Ospreay, and now I guess Okada and Bryan is my third.
Right. And then Ospreay and Okada had a match too in New Japan before they send off, which is also pretty wild.
I did not watch that. I gotta rewatch. I gotta watch that.
Yeah, Pete. Okay.
I'm sure that's on my list now too. I'm sure that's gonna be on there. Shit.
But it's like this year alone has seen a lot. I mean, for me, I know one of the candidates for me is the Io Shirai Bayley match on night two. Because for a women's match at WrestleMania, that's up there for me.
Yeah. No. Rhea Becky was amazing.
Rhea Becky is another. Whoo.
I gotta do a lot of rewatching. I got you. You know what? That's it. We gotta do that episode. That's gonna be the
Like a midway, like maybe in June or something. That we'll do like a match of the year midway of the year.
That's the next one. Man. We gonna come up with some.
I got you. So yeah, to me, I thought these two, you know, I don't think they had a match prior than this, right? Anything in the indies or anything? I don't think so. Bryan and Will Ospreay.
No, not that I know right away. I don't think I can remember anything from before then, but no, I think this is the first time.
It's pretty weird because these two look like they fought. They had matches before,
like ROH or something, maybe
something like that. Yeah, but like the way that they just knew each other's chemistry was right. I mean. When he tried to do that, what's it called? That cutter, and Bryan caught him with a legit knee in the air, like a legit knee. Didn't hit the shoulder. It literally hit. I didn't know Bryan had hops like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, that was definitely nice.
Like man. The timing and everything. Like, dude, perfectly. These guys were meant to face each other for real. You know?
Yeah, it was definitely a dream match for the ages. I can't. It's gonna be argued for the whole year. For the whole year, this is the one, and it's because it's not WWE,
right?
That is just that is that much special. Like it's crazy, right? A company that's out of the East put on such a crazy performance like that, but that's what AEW is supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be putting on bangers like that, and like you said, the work heard round the world, right? The shoulder that didn't pop but popped. So loud, right? I mean, I don't know. He did a great job. A lot of people were concerned. They were worried. They called. A lot of people wanted their money back because they were so flabbergasted that they would show such a thing. No, I'm just playing.
The spasms?
No, not like that. Not like that. But I mean, I'm sure Brie was upset. I'm sure Brie was very concerned.
You know what's so crazy? Like, how many times is Bryan going to use this gimmick? The spasms. Like, dude, like, you know what people with real PTSD concussions would say? Like, what about them? Like, you kind of, like, making fun of them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But the fact that he retired the move, too, maybe this is a trend. Because, okay. Hypothetically, it's not a work, right? And he's hurt, right?
Right.
You retire the move because also they were talking. There was reports on him getting in trouble, not in trouble, but they thought he botched it with Kenny because he used it on Kenny too the last time.
Yes.
And I think I don't know if that if it's not a work, whatever. And then he's hurt. Clearly, obviously. We feel for Bryan, and we don't want nobody else to get hurt. So yeah, get rid of the move. But if it's not, and it's a work, and Brian's okay, which he walked off as well. He did show that he walked off. Now you're retiring the move. Now, is this going to be a trend where now every time we have that classic banger, right, you're going to be like, oh, I just hit you with this classic move. Now, between us, we're going to retire it somehow. Wait, no one's to use this move because it's going to be remembered now as the Osprey Bryan Driver 92. Okay. This is supposed to be the last time we see it now, right? So when you see that move, you're gonna reference Osprey. But it's a smart way to kind of hook
to
in
make
here.
It to put a little extra in the match. I see what you're saying.
I can see that. If it becomes a trend now, I'm gonna watch.
But see, my thing is like, okay, would it have been retired if it wasn't for Daniel Bryan's WWE PTSD? You know what I'm saying?
I think that sold it for sure. If you didn't do that, that cell doesn't make it possible.
Yeah, it doesn't make it like more.
So either way, we needed that PTSD in there.
I was like, my man looked like he just got shocked in the ass. I was like, I don't think this is how it's supposed to be, you know?
He checked his prostate after the match. It was, oh no, not this again.
Hell no. No, but that's what I'm saying. I was like, yo, come on, man. Because like the last time he did it, what was like against Kenny Omega, right? Or something like that?
I can't even remember. Man.
I forgot. I know it was on AEW, right? It's like, I don't know if they have to talk. I don't know how AEW does their matches, if it's like anywhere else. But like no one discussed this. Like no one said, I don't know, Brian. Like, maybe not do that, you know? Like,
can we not? Can we get to this match and not do it, maybe? That's the problem. We don't have that coaching in Jacksonville like there is in Stanford, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, it's the same committee that let Cody say that same racism speech, right?
It's the same people, yo, for real.
The same. Yeah, go ahead and do the seizure. Yeah, that'd be great.
That's going to be funny. Cool. Go ahead and nail it.
And then the thing that was so dumb is like the ref is checking on him, right? While he's still And like, and Will Ospreay says in the interview, oh, I didn't see the ref try to stop me. He's like, bro, you were right there. What are you talking about? You backed up to the corner. Like, what do you mean you didn't see him?
Oh man, that's terrible. It's terrible if you watch it back, Chad.
It is because then like the ref didn't think of just, oh, let me just catch him. Let me just tackle him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So no further injuries, right? He's like, no, I'm gonna just let him get the hidden blade off, you know? Like,
I mean, it's interesting. It was an interesting finish. To say the least.
I mean, it all made sense, as weird as it sounds, but it all made sense, and it all led to a dope ass match, right?
A classic, instant classic. You're gonna be talking.
I just watched it again this morning. I was like, yeah, this is crazy. All those spots on the ring apron, like
I'm about to medicate and watch.
I feel you. I mean, listen, you know, 420 was Saturday, but still people want to party.
Yeah,
you know,
420 is all month. I mean, yeah. Hey.
I feel you. I feel you. No, okay. So we have the ladder match, right? The Young Bucks versus FTR.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Now, you know, say what you want about the EVPs and the Bucks, right? They know how to work when it comes to these high stake matches like this, right?
They definitely do. Definitely.
Right, right. But FTR, I thought they would still hold it though.
You think, yo, so I love that this is the one we're talking about now too, because It was a very loud. And they were saying, you said, say what you want about the Bucks. They were saying a lot.
They were saying
a lot this weekend, and everybody was so adamant about them being so terribly, or how they booked the promo so terribly.
You talk about the footage.
And the footage, and they showed the footage, and why they're showing the footage. It doesn't make sense. And like we told you from the beginning, the only thing that made sense was Hook here. And Hook he became instantly the number one merch seller that night. Mm-hmm. He sold the most merch that night. On top of that, it was about him, and they
What are you talking about? Jack Perry. Jack Perry.
I'm so sorry. I said, look, right. My fault. Jack Perry. Jungle Boy.
Yeah. No, I got you.
But Jack Perry is the one that benefited out of it. And outside of that, the only other thing was that they piggybacked off of it and they brought it back to FTR. Why they did that, I guess that was probably the more confusing part too, because of what was to transpire later that evening. Yes, mm-hmm. Jack Perry comes out with his MJF-esque mask.
Right.
And costs the match, and immediately you see that smirk and everybody and you don't only see the smirk, this is the funny part, you hear the noise of the crowd, and what that crowd noise wasn't just cheers, it wasn't just claps. That shit right there was the sound of forgiveness and the sound of, yeah, I'm gonna fucking forget every fucking thing that I said bad about Jack Perry and how he was so terrible because I was a CM Punk mark. And now it's okay, Jack Perry. You're cool now. Now that you did this one thing, this one spot in 5 seconds that it took, we forgive you. And now you're cool again. And you're going to be the number one selling merch guy. And yes, at the end of the day, it fucking made sense. It made sense that they played the footage. They didn't do too much. After that, I would have thought they would have talked about the MDAs. They didn't do none of that. They just showed the footage. And they showed the right amount for what the situation needed to be and what the outcome was that transpired. Hey, long-term booking right there. You were trying about it, right? You got a little taste of it.
No, you know what? You brought up a good point because I never saw it like that, right? I did see it like as like pettiness, but now when they formulated to the full point where they're trying to call out FDR and using Jack Perry, like, yeah, you're right. It makes sense. It makes a whole bunch of sense.
It makes dollars. It makes dollars. Right.
We don't make dollars, right? We don't make sense. We make dollars. But the question is though, is Jack Perry officially back with AEW, or he's still going from AEW to New Japan?
He never left. That whole shit, the suspension, I think that shit was all a work. He was always signed anyway, and the suspension was may have been of a thing of go home and
disciplinary calm down type of thing.
A little bit at the beginning, maybe, and just to send them home and calm them down, but then it quickly. I could see that management could have quickly gone on the phone and listen, we're going to hold you off to you for a little bit till it dies down, and we're working work you into an angle where blah, 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 blah. Yeah, go rip up the contract over there. Go make some noise. Go say that this and this and that. Go ahead, trash us. Fuck it, whatever. Make whatever you got to do to make some noise over here, because when we bring you back, all that noise is coming with you. Right. And we're gonna piggyback off of that. And that's what's gonna happen here for Jack. And it's great for him. For him to be able to create this shit after surviving Punk.
I mean, he was down in the trenches, and I felt like him going to New Japan was a disciplinary thing, help him to learn the ways of wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of because it kind of felt like he didn't get the respect value, right?
Right, right, right.
And, you know, that's why you go to New Japan and stuff like that, because they definitely treat it with a lot more respect.
Definitely.
But my thing is, this is just like you gave your kid like a week off from watching TV, and then he's like right back home. Like, What did he learn? Did he learn
that
you know, what it was meant to be out there?
That's the risk that they're taking here. That's the risk that it looks like they're taking. Because does one learn from this? He's very young, right?
Right, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe if he doesn't learn, it makes for better television. I don't know. so who knows? Maybe this is helping his promos, because
I was hoping to see Jack Perry. I know this is going to sound crazy. I was hoping to see Jack Perry like try to wrestle like a New Japan Strong against like Young Lions, okay, and he can get fucked up in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay, you think you're some hotshot wrestler?
Let's give you some real.
Let me put you in this hole for a minute. You know?
Oh, you want to use real glass? Okay.
Right. Yeah, let's use real glass. Bro. Yeah, let's try that. But yeah, I guess all is good for him. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're not going to catch me wearing the scapegoat t-shirt. I think that's kind of weird, but you know. But I mean, still, shout out to him though. Okay, yeah, so we got the title match, right? Strickland. Word. Samoa Joe. Shout out to Strickland coming out, right? This is a huge winner coming out with the Killmonger outfit.
What?
Right? And then he had the robe to go with it too.
If tell me you're winning the match had an outfit, bro, and an entrance.
Facts.
I did the DraftKings shit. And just to be slick, whatever, just to be stupid, I put interference for Joe and win by submission. Because I said, fuck it, if Swerve doesn't win tonight, I'm going to win some money. Fuck this.
Yeah, because it was so obvious. Yeah.
So then as soon as he took his jacket off, I was like, fuck, there goes that bet.
Right. It's kind of like, remember, WrestleMania 12. Remember when Shawn Michaels has that grand entrance from coming from the roof?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this motherfucker's going to win right here. Like, they don't have an entrance like this and lose.
I always said, if you give it to one, give it to the other. Because you're literally giving away the finish to the if you give that guy the entrance, the special entrance. It's just you can't. You gotta get both guys. But I get it because not always both guys are over like that to get a fucking entrance. And the budget doesn't always call for that much pyro either.
Well, you saw they didn't have enough pyro at the end. They just like shot out spark streamers. They had
streamers bro. Fucking smacked them with streamers.
They ran out of the pyro, bro. They had purple streamers at the end of the what the hell?
Yeah, that was wild, man.
No, but that match is excellent. You know what I'm saying? It's everything that, you know, you expect a Samoa Joe Strickland to be, right? I did think that last spot was kind of weird when he was trying to, like, cancel Joe's breathing?
Oh, man. Beyond me, bro. Beyond me.
Like, I thought that was kind of weird, right?
I had no idea what the hell that was. And I was just like, what is he doing with that shit? Like, what are you... like, okay. All right.
Wow, does Joe have a sinus infection? Like, he's trying to get him to blow his nose or something?
I was like, bro, let's just win. Let's just win. and make sure nobody's popping out behind you. You asked me earlier what kind of fan I was this weekend. Emotional wreck is an understatement. Yo, HPC had to bury a brother this past week. Cremate a brother, actually. And it turns out his favorite wrestler of all time, him being of heavy set, of course, Joe was his idol. Joe was his fucking idol. So, and having Joe, he followed his career, his whole career. And if you follow Joe, Joe hasn't won many heavyweight championships.
No.
So for him to hold this fucking, let's call them the AEW's a heavyweight championship that's recognized. It's starting to be more recognized globally now, but it's a American based fucking championship, at least, right, in America. So it holds weight to it, and for him to get to see his favorite wrestler become champion was special. And my brother that passed, he left a mark. And I think Joe definitely left his mark here. And I was biased, watching this bias, of course. I had a different vision of this match. It was different for me as it was for everybody else. So as I'm looking at it with these eyes and these lenses now, it means that much more for me. The finish of having Joe do the job and the act of moving forward now from this. We're going to move forward from Joe. it was like moving forward from my brother and now passing the torch to Swerve onto a new era. We're on this new path, and yo, Swerve deserves every fucking bit of this damn thing. Yes. Killing everything since day one with Hangman Page. He called it. I'm coming for what you got. I'm coming for your spot. And and the moment he cut that promo, I knew it, yo. I was like, this is the run. This is going to be for him. And yo, look where we at. We here now, baby. And I Swerve. And, when I drive, yeah, when I Swerve. And,
come on. Come on. Woo! No, my thing, too, is like you couldn't. You know, you say you have to hit it with the momentum too, because sometimes AEW has the momentum on a wrestler, and they decide not to cash in, or they cash in too late, and it's like, okay, yeah. He lost his momentum. So, like, to do it right now at this moment, like, I think it's benefiting, because like now, look, AEW looks different. It kind of looks something that, like, okay, I could get on board with, right? You got Mercedes, Willow Ospreay. You know what I'm saying? You got Willow Nightingale, Okada, you got Swerve as a champion. Like, I don't want to say the same thing that WWE is saying, but this is kind of a new look, right? Yeah, this is a new look going into the future.
Way different. And who's next for Swerve doesn't even matter at this point, because right now it's like, I feel like this is just how I felt when Priest cashed in too. Mm-hmm. That refreshness. You get a refreshing now. Joe was great. You had MJF who was above and beyond, right? And he's he was on top of the wrestling world when he was champion. So when Joe won it, it was like, for me, it was like, okay, Joe wins, but Joe is not really on top of the wrestling world right now. I don't think everybody is
a character,
hot.
Right?
Yeah,
like a character.
They weren't.
But as
hot.
Like a wrestler, he's like hugely respected.
Oh yeah,
right. So I think that made sense to have him to have the title. It's like, okay, we kind of have to put a little bit more respect on this, right?
Yeah, yeah. And now Swerve getting it. Mm-hmm. So now it's like Swerve starting right back where MJF left off. Right. And now, yeah, let's go. Let's go, yo. A pedal to the metal.
I like it.
Foot on the gas.
Like,
let's rock. Yo, give them everybody. Give them. Yo, Keith Lee needs to come back.
That was going to be my next thing I said. Like, look where Swerve was in the beginning with Keith Lee and then tag team, right? Mm-hmm. Not to say that it was bad.
No.
Those two guys deserve better.
Yeah.
But this now maybe this is maybe we can get Keith to get in Keith Lee shape. Yep. And go against Swerve. Yep, that'll be something. That'll be something to definitely build on.
When's the last time I saw? I think. Oh, I saw him at the Hall of Fame.
Man,
the last...
It's been a long time since Keith Lee's been in the ring too.
Not in the ring.
Long time, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Long, long time. But yeah, I mean, like, shout out to Swerve, man. Like, and shout out to AEW for finally putting the championship title at the right moment, right?
Yes, definitely, man. I think Tony Khan got it right. Definitely got it right with this one.
For sure, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, that's it for us in terms of AEW Dynasty. But, you know, the villain, my homie, tell the people about your next episode that's coming up.
Yo, my God, I appreciate the plug here, man.
For sure.
300 coming in hot this Thursday, April 20. Well, I think that's the 25th.
Is it 29?
28, something like that. It's coming up, baby. So don't worry. You'll be able to see it on our YouTube, Twitch, X, HPC Bad Guys on all platforms. And we're going to be live from an axe throwing Stumpy's axe.
Oh, word? Oh, dope. Yes. Okay. Okay.
So we're going to be doing that thing. We're going to be trying not to kill ourselves. So hopefully
that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be a 301. So we'll see. We'll try to get there. We're going to be live and in charge. So check us out. We're going to have special surprises, giveaways, all that good jazz. And come say hi to the bad guys on 300, man. We're going to love you for it, man.
Yeah. And, you know, got nothing but love for you, homie. You know what I'm saying? 300, check them out, please. Also, tell them where you think I find y'all at.
Yeah, all major platforms, social media platforms, HPC Bad Guys, Twitch, X, what's that?
Threads,
your mom's bedroom. I mean, listen,
your mama
anywhere you can find and search bar, type in Heels Pops Chair Shots, HPC Bad Guys, you'll find us. You already know. We are wrestling entertainment champions, baby. You already
get it. Come on. And of course,
Tom, man, for having me. And,
oh,
and,
of course. You know, you can come like we said before, anytime.
we going to get the bad guys. The rest of us won't go marinate us. Good jambalaya and jump up on here, man.
I like that. I like that.
Get it popping because we get spicy. We get spicy.
I'm good with that. As long as the Modelo Special is there, we good. We good.
The Modelo, the Henny, you already
Come on. I got you. But you know what I'm saying? You one of my homies, so you welcome anytime. Oh, you don't need to ask. Just say, hey, send me the link and I got you.
Bet.
So, but yo, if you enjoy this, you can find me, Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. If you can't find me there, you can also find me with Marks and Mikes as well. Shout out to the homie. Shout out to the crew. Guys, I think it's time. We out of here.
Peace.
Let me hit you off with this right here.
Hey, that tango, baby. Hey.
Yo, come on. Shout out. HPC. Out of here. Bonito, bitches.